twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so cast.
How's it going? Welcome to the program. I'm glad you're here. Today is going to be one hell of a program. I want to get right to it because we're going to be talking about, well, the fact that our country, us, all of us, we're at war, and you're going to have to remember a whole different set of rules, the way you think about things, way you process things when it comes to war. That's why I've got my guest I want to hurry up and get to, General Flynn. And since this is war and you should be treating it like war, I want you to remember, since we are at war and America's under attack, folks, we do setmefreeplease.com. This is your escape plan. We've got 2.2 million Americans participating in this base program to help them get their lives together and break free from the consumer slavery that's funding all of these bad things. Folks, go to setmefreeplease.com. Just fill out the simple form. We're going to text you, email you, then we're going to set a call and we're going to talk to you. And we're going to help you understand the plan that can set you and your family free. Many people decide to take it further and do other things, and some people are augmenting their income with it. Folks, you've got to have an escape plan. Will you please just join us over at setmefreeplease.com? And speaking of war, you better get to thinking about your fighting weight. I mean that truthfully. You're going to have to get your body and your mind in shape, everything in shape. It doesn't matter, spiritually, physically, monetarily, and your body. One of the things I'm doing is Fill the Greens. It's the healthiest thing I do every day. and I want you on this journey with me. Literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the berry flavor. In fact, I just love all the flavors. And it's completely improved my life. It is such a non-thinking, no-brainer thing, right? We should be eating more fruits and vegetables anyway. They take the top-line fruit and vegetables. They just powder it up. Look at that powder. See that super fine powder? It's not a meal replacement, so don't think that. You just put a scoop in water, shake it up in the little shaker, and drink it. That's it. So it's not trying to scarf down fruit and vegetables like you should do. It's just getting them in your system. The way this nutrition was intended by God, the way nature intended, folks. I have more energy throughout the day. I sleep better during the night. That's what I found. My hair, my skin, my fingernails, better than ever. I found it helps my digestion. My stomach feels better. It's just something you drink. That's why. See, Fill the Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Fill the Greens to keep me healthy. I think you should too, and I promise you're going to love this product. If for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. And I've got you 15% off your first order, free rush shipping. Just visit fillthegreens.com. Your promo code's Jovan. You're going to get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. That's fillthegreens.com, promo code Jovan, fillthegreens.com. I do also want to remind you of something. It's just like you're going to want tickets for General Flynn's documentary. Right down underneath the description, you'll see the links. So not only will you find the links for things like Fill the Greens or Gold Co., whatever the case may be, the first link you'll find is so you can get your tickets for General Flynn's movies. Just click it and get it. Besides going to the various movies or watching it online or getting it on DVD, it's there. There's merchandise as well. So don't forget it. Hey, by the way, this war is financed. These rat bastards finance it with our own money. And you know it, and I know it. These guys, this system is so corrupt. Sometimes it just kind of makes me sick. These guys, they do it to us. They force us.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change. And this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors. And at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
Yeah, they're forcing us with our own money. And then I think about these politicians that I now don't even call rhinos. They're rat bastards.
Well, let me give you my view of what happened January the 6th. And we're here. We're here. We saw what happened. It was a violent insurrection for the purpose of trying to prevent the peaceful transfer of power after a legitimately certified election.
They can't stop lying to us. It's just the way it is, folks. We got to realize we've been slaves a lot longer than we ever thought. With everything going on right now, it is really hard to say what could happen. We're going to talk with General Flynn about the worst case scenario. We don't know what will happen. We don't know what will happen. We really don't know anything for sure. And often we usually don't find out until it's too late. So what you do about it is up to you. That's your business. But when it comes to your money, you should understand what's at stake. That's why I partnered with Gold Co., because I know this can possibly help you at a time like this. See, if you go to JovanLovesGold.com and get your free gold and silver kit, it's going to show you how to get into precious metals, tax-free, penalty-free. Even if your money's still in a retirement account, like an IRA or a 401k, by the way, you may qualify to get $10,000 in free silver added to your account. You've seen the writing on the wall. Go to JovanLovesGold.com and get your free gold and silver kit, because this is about taking back control of our privacy and our freedom. I can't predict the future, but I can certainly prepare for it. You should prepare for it too. And at the very least, you should get educated about your choices. So take action, defend your freedom, your privacy, your future, your kids, your grandkids. Everything depends upon it. One of the things you need to do is go to JovanLovesGold.com. JoeVaughnLovesGold.com. Just get your free 2024 gold and silver kit and feed your brain. Because remember, my job is to make you the smartest patriot in the room. And you can't do anything to fix the situation if you just don't understand how these rat bastards do it. Speaking of rat bastards, we're going to be speaking with General Flynn about that. Let's get started.
Cut the crap. How many times a day do you want to say that to politicians? The elite, the loony liberals, the fake news media, and the gender-confused emotional socialist snowflake crowd. Cut the crap is your secret weapon for fighting for our freedoms and our great republic. It all begins with a massive mental enema, freeing you from the toxic news and politically correct views, which constipate your consciousness with stinking thinking. Your host, Joe Von Hutton Pulitzer. He's known for calling out politicians and telling them to cut the crap. You've seen him on virtually every television network and listened to him on Coast to Coast Radio. And now he's here to help you learn to fight for America. Culture, race, and American politics, they all have one thing in common. They all need to cut the crap. Now, here's your host, Joe Von Hutton Pulitzer.
Hey, folks, welcome to the program. Yeah, who would name their program crap? I would, this guy, because we're always talking about crap, right? Culture, race, and American politics. Because I believe when you mix culture, race, and American politics, everything goes to hell in a handbasket. Speaking of hell in a handbasket, with our guest today, General Michael Flynn, we're going to talk about many things, one of them being the worst case scenario. Folks, I know you want to give the system the middle finger. How about give them this finger right here? Just click and share this program right now. It's very important to do it. But you know what? Before I bring General Flynn on, I want to remind you what's coming. Very important. You're going to have to know a website. It's FlynnMovie.com. Just FlynnMovie.com. That's where you're going to get all your information to get tickets and everything else. This documentary, I can tell you, a lot of documentaries have come out of the conservative world. This one, I think, is going to be a juggernaut because everybody's talking about it and everybody's excited to see it. Watch this.
Is there any regrets that you have in life? I should sit here and say, yeah, I got a lot of regrets. But when I look back on my life and I understand the lives that were lost. I mean, I'm sitting here with you. And I can tell my story.
He was one of the most respected generals in the world.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible for
Donald Trump. Brilliant military career serving.
Mike Flynn told the truth and faced my first.
Okay, folks, welcome. General Flynn, welcome to the program, sir.
Yeah, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. This could cost me a lot, too, but because I know that when people see it, there's going to be people that are talked about in it and discussed in it are going to have to be questioned about this movie. There's going to be people that will that are high profile people that the media, if they're doing a service for this country, they will go to these people and they'll say, hey, did you see Flynn's movie? What do you think about what he said? What do you think about what he's talking about in that movie? And because it calls out not just, you know, the left, calls out the right. I mean, it's a display of that's really compelling. And it does bring into sort of the first half, really the sort of the military industrial complex, the intelligence community, why we are the way we are. And then the second half goes into the real complex story about my elevating into U.S. politics, right? Talk about crap. Talk about American politics.
Yeah.
And then the deep levels of corruption that I experienced, that frankly all of America experienced, and as we see with what's going on with the current leading presidential, Republican presidential candidate Donald J. Trump, what's happening with him. So, your show is about what is happening in America. Culture, we are seeing our entire culture under assault. American politics, right? And then the whole thing about, the whole race baiting and race and everything that they do to us to sort of keep this swirl going. So all of that is part and parcel to this film, and some of the big name characters that are in it are Tucker Carlson, currently, the lead for Tucker Carlson Network, and of course, internationally known figure.
Right.
And in Tucker's case, when we did his interview, which really he doesn't get interviewed much. He is always a person interviewing.
So right.
It's probably the first interview that he did in many, many decades. And it was about 3 days before he was fired from Fox News. So that's when we did this interview. And he was a no holds barred interview of Tucker Carlson. And so he comes out, and he's got very strong messages in this. And I like to tell people that wow. Tucker and I, we did not always see eye to eye. And I think, I know from my story, Tucker's view of the world, of American politics, and the way in the direction that America is taking completely changed 180 degrees. And now Tucker Carlson and I have really become, very, very good friends and allies in this fight to save America. The other individual is Devin Nunes, the current CEO of Truth Social, but also former chairman of the United States House of Representatives Intelligence Committee, the HPSI, they call it, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And someone who I've known for probably the better part of a couple of decades. We first met when he visited Iraq as a member of the Intel Committee. And they came specifically into Iraq to see me because I had been complaining about the intelligence community at that time. And I subsequently wrote a document about it called Fixing Intel. That document plays out in this movie. So Devin has a couple of not cameo roles. These are significant roles because of the voices that they have and the authentic, honest voices that they have. And they also know me. So right. They're able to talk not just about an issue, but they're able to talk about the person who they know, and like I say, one of the little tidbits that I'll say is in the movie, I talk about a particular person and I say, what changed in that person? Because I didn't change. So what caused that person to change? And when people that go to watch a movie and they specifically hone in on that, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The other, another person that's in it is Lee Smith. Lee Smith and I have known each other for a while. Lee's a great author. He wrote a best-selling book called The Plot Against the President, which then became a documentary. And it's a great documentary that's available now. But and Lee is somebody who is very, very knowledgeable, not only in history, but in the current affairs and the world of American politics, right? And certainly can describe, and he gets into the culture that exists in Washington, D.C. now very powerfully. He comes across very powerfully and very in a very captivating way. And then, of course, I have a whole bunch of members of my family that are in this, because one of the things that all families will recognize in this film is that it's never just about you. It's about everybody around you. Everybody in my orbit, my inner circle, my wife, my children, my grandchildren. My wife is one of seven brothers and sisters. I'm one of, I have nine brothers and sisters, eight still living. We have nieces and nephews. We have over 100 people that are just in our inner circle family. And then they have families, they have friends. So when everybody was asking about, Uncle Mike or geez, General Flynn, or, it's like, is that true? Is that true that he had that he dated, that he was having an affair with a Russian woman, a Russian spy? So we talk about these things in the movie. And my, my family, the beauty of an Irish family is we have an Irish sense of humor, and the Irish sense of humor certainly comes across in this film. And it's, and that's a real powerful component to it. But one of the things from my perspective, Giovanni, and I appreciate you allowing me to talk about this, is I want the American, I want anybody that watches this to put themselves into that position. And there are too many, all too often too many in our country who are persecuted for things that they didn't do. And in some cases they go to prison over it. I mean, the whole J6 thing. So there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of rawness. It's very raw. There's some real raw moments for my family in this movie that I think will resonate. I do believe will resonate with viewers, because it'll be like, you know, they know, God, all of us go through a hard time in life. You know, all of us. It's what I call this sort of story of survival. How do you overcome this? How do you, you know, like we use the phrase fight like a flint. How do you fight through this and overcome it? And now, you know, here I am continuing to fight for this country because, frankly, as I describe in the movie, the beauty of the American people have such great common sense. And I know when they listen to your show, they know their common sense just knows that's right. They don't need to listen to subject matter experts on some, you know, some esoteric thing. They feel it, because they feel it in their daily lives. And what guys like you and I are able to do, and what this film does, it brings that to the forefront, that, you know, at the end of the day, for us to survive as a nation, we're going to have to apply just good God-given common sense to everything that we do. And look at some of these things that our people in our federal government are doing, the corrupt activities that they're doing, and saying enough is enough. And now we have to, you know, be stronger as Americans. And that's what I want to try to bring across. And I hope that I believe, and, you know, my wife and I watched it the other day again, just to, you know, to make sure. And we were like, we looked at each other and we're both in like tears watching it, you know, and because it's, even though we've seen it a bunch of times, we're like, oh my God, you always find, like, when you watch a movie, you're like, I got to watch it again.
Because
you see something, you know, and for those that, you know, that buy it, that can go back and forth, you're going to be finding yourself doing that. You're going to find yourself, go back. I want to see that again. I want to hear what he just said. I want to hear what they just said. That, to me, is the strength of a film that that ties in so many things that are necessary, you know?
And I think when we go back to Obama basically warning President Trump, I think it's mainly because, you know, where all the bodies are and everything. I got a question for you, because you could probably make 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 movies, right? Yeah. Out of all that you've been through, or your family's been through separately. Why was now the right time?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, a couple of years ago, right after I received a pardon and, you know, all the tumultuous period post election, and right before after Biden took over, I was approached, and, you know, about doing something like around the February 2021 timeframe. And I looked at everything going on in the country, and I started to think, okay, maybe is this, you know, and I talked to my close family about it. And I thought, okay, because people were like, you got to tell your story. But what people wanted to hear was my story of just the period of persecution, right? And what happened. And not enough about who I was and why did I get into these positions, you know, that I get into? Why did I rise to running one of the largest intel agencies in the world? Why did I get chosen as a national security advisor? Why did they fear me so much? And I wasn't ready to tell that story. And as I projected out, and as I am, because we're going to talk about scenarios for our country here shortly, I'm one of these guys that thinks like that. I've had a lifetime of experience of trying to project what might happen, you know? And so I started to think about it. I'm like, no, right now the country is not ready for my story, because we were fighting tooth and nail, as you know, for election integrity issues. I mean, there was so many things going on. And I knew that, you know, what I saw quickly was that this was going to take much longer. As we know, we still have evidence coming out almost on a daily basis now about some of the violations of the 2020 elections. And that's going to continue to, that story is going to continue to be told. Fast forward to when, you know, because at that time, I didn't know whether or not Trump was going to run for office. You know, you don't know what the political situation is going to be for 2024. I knew I was going to fight tooth and nail for the 2022 elections. I did, you know, the various nonprofits I was involved in. And so I just didn't feel right. When after the 2022 elections, and we had the results that we had, and then I saw the fecklessness of the Republicans in Congress, I was like, oh my God. So I started to talk to people, and I started to say to myself, you know, now we're going to go into another very, very difficult period of time. 2024 elections are the most historically consequential elections we're ever going to have. There's a message in my story to get people to really understand what is happening to America. And that's what this film is about. And I didn't want to have it come out during the primaries because there's too much noise. I wanted to time it post the primaries, prior to the conventions, because that's a block of time when people are going to be hungry for information and hungry for the truth and hungry for what to do. And then as we go into the next several months here, the next whatever, 6, 7, 8 months into November, that this message in this film will continue to resonate, believe me. And it will resonate to both sides. You know, when you think about target audiences, there's a lot of people that will look at this just because they support Mike Flynn, you know, and I appreciate that support. My family and I could not be here without that support. But I really am going after sort of that, in a way, it's sort of that Kennedy Democrat. And I ain't talking about Bobby Kennedy Jr. I'm talking about the John F. Kennedy Democrat, right?
Right.
Which my family grew up being. There's a group of about 35 to 40 million people in this country who they don't want to be on the left. They don't want to be seen as communists, but they don't like some of the issues. You know, like you and I could argue all day about what's better, big government or little government, more taxes, less taxes, you know, more social programs, less social programs. Those are political policy issues that have been argued for decades. But when we talk about whether or not we're going to continue to be a constitutional republic or we're going to be a socialist nation, that's different. You know, that's different. Those are two competing ideologies. And we know one is not a successful ideology. The other, you know, which is the idea of democracy and under a constitutional republic is a successful ideology and is a successful way to continue to operate. It's ugly and it has its ugly warts, but it's better than anything else that has existed in human history. Just ask, you know, one of the best people to ever write about it is Winston Churchill. So that's what this movie is about. That's why this timing is so critical right now. And that's the message that I want people to walk away from when they watch it, because people are going to be emotional. They're going to be angry. They're going to be determined. There's a set of emotions that you will get coming out of a movie like this. You know, it's not a movie where you're going to be like, oh, I'm all happy now, right? It's going to be a movie that I want you to move. I want to cause people to get off their rear ends and move in a direction that is essentially pro-American.
Do you think our agencies are forever broken, or are we watching them crumble? Are we watching the remaking? Can they be saved?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And because I do think that there are some saving components of pieces of these organizations, but I do think that the culture is created at the top of an organization, and then it permeates down through the organization. And like, for example, the institution of the Department of Defense and our military, we are seeing a reculturalization of the United States military right now. We're seeing it. So under Obama, they changed out a lot of the generals, a lot of the admirals. Under this administration, they're putting in all these people that are big believers in DEI and social emotional learning. But I know that in the grassroots of the military, we still have people that are really pro-America, pro-Constitution, pro their oath of office. So what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to rapidly impose training on an institution to try to change the culture. And that's the top. This is top-down driven. Well, the CIA and the FBI, and there are other entities, the Diplomatic Security Service, there's some other intel components of the intel community where the culture came in, particularly under Obama, and they and they push the culture down into the bowels of the organization to, for hiring purposes, for promotion purposes, the incentivization, how we are incentivized in the intelligence community is not necessarily because you tell the truth.
Right.
It's because you're good about keeping the party line, right? The party line. Imagine that, right? That's how communism is. That's how Hitler rose to power, right? So if you don't tell the party line, then you got a problem, right? And so to specifically answer your question, I do think that there has to be a complete change of inventory of the leadership at the top. And I'm not talking about just the political appointees, but those people who are in the senior executive service level, right? Or senior, in the intel community, we call them SIS, senior intelligence service, right? Those are services like being in the service of the Army or the service of the Marine Corps. So there are services for bureaucrats at a very significant level, at the general or admiral level as civilians, right? In the intelligence community, in the diplomatic corps, those people have to be basically said, thank you for your service. You know, you have 24 hours to clean your desks out and you're gone. And that's a significant number, but this is the culture that has been permeated for many years in places like the Bureau and places like the CIA. So now the next part of your question is, can there be parts changed? Can you reform inside? You know, I do think that there's some argument. There is a scenario, talk about scenarios, that says completely cut that organization. Let's go back to state and local level of law enforcement with some capability at the federal level, whether it's an entire institution called the FBI. I mean, I don't think people in this country even understand anymore what the FBI is supposed to be doing, what their real missions are, and they've really become intelligence agencies and not law enforcement agencies, right? Right. The CIA has lost sight of what it was originally designed and morphed from the OSS, you know, the Office of Strategic Services into this big behemoth intelligence agency that actually controls way, way too much of our government and government's decisions, particularly when it comes to foreign affairs. I mean, there's been many countries where I wish that we could revisit, and we will if we get back into power, we will revisit the assassinations of the 1960s, particularly why hasn't everything been released in John F. Kennedy, right? Because,
right.
I mean, these are things when we talk about the bodies are buried, these are the places like I know where to dig, right? It doesn't mean that I have that specific information because,
right.
You know, I haven't seen it all, but I've seen a lot, but I know where to dig, right? I know where to dig. And so if we revisit some of these things and we find out, the Gulf of Tonkin that got us into the Vietnam War that led to almost somewhere between 50 and 60,000 killed in action in Vietnam, many, many wounded, years of abusing the veterans that come out of Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin was a fake. It was a fake. And in the movie, so back to the movie, I talk about, a couple of fakes, a couple of head fakes that got us into wars that I want people to understand. Because if we allow non-elected individuals, organizations and the people in those organizations to get us involved in war, because there's really only two decisions that a president of the United States has to make. Really, I mean, the two decisions that a president has to make. He's got to make a decision about whether or not he's going to take the country to war or get us out of war. That's a big decision, particularly going to war. Or the other decision is about the economy, whether or not we're going to have a strong economy or not. And if a president of the United States comes in and says, we're going to be energy independent, we are going to be the manufacturing geniuses of the world, we are going to return to America First business principles, boom, the economy will go through the roof. That's it. All the other stuff, border security and those are things that a president has to pay attention to, but he's got to have the right people to be able to affect those things.
Right.
But if a president will be remembered for whether or not the economy was strong, right? I mean, it's the economy, stupid, right? I mean, that's a, you know, that's Bill Clinton always gets patted on the back for that. Whatever you think about Bill Clinton, you know, that phrase made him the president.
Right.
And whether or not we are going to go to war or get out of war. And in the case of Donald Trump, he did both of those. He didn't start a war. He essentially got us out of a couple, but, you know, didn't complete one in Afghanistan. And we saw the debacle that this administration did. But at least he didn't get us into new wars. And he made an economy very strong. So all the other things that Trump did or didn't do, he did those two things. He didn't cause a war and he kept the economy strong. Those are the two big things that a president must do. If a president doesn't do those two things, because right now the economy is terrible, it's horrible. And we are in massive wars all over the world. And that's because of the policies of the quote unquote Democrat Party, which is really the Democratic Socialist Party of America, right, that's driving us. So I went further into, you know, your great question, but I do think that there has to be a discussion about completely shutting these organizations down. Has to be. And then there has to be the discussion about the effects of that, the consequences of doing that. I learned as a young officer a long time ago in the military, when I was talking about a particular thing that was standing, I said to a sergeant, I go, what? I said, it had to do with a fence. And I said, we need to take that fence down, you know, because it was about a field that we had, right? It was simple, very simple example. But the sergeant said something really smart to me, good common sense guy. He said, well, let's understand why that fence was put up before we take it down, sir. And then once we do that, then we can take it down. Then we can follow your order and we can take it down. But let's understand why that fence was put up in the first place. So why was the FBI created? Why was the CIA created? And if we go back to those principles, like this country, we can then make decisions, better decisions, about whether or not we completely shut the organization down, lock the door, send everybody home, thank them for their service, and give them a 30-day paycheck on, you know, 30-day stipend on their way out the door, so you can go out to, you know, middle America and go find a job. Because, you know, too many jobs right now. I mean, I have places where I'm living in Florida. There's jobs available everywhere. You know, they're available everywhere. The problem is that there's such a divide between people that, you know, did you take the vax? Did you not take the vax? Do you,
right,
believe, you know, you were I mean, it's crazy. So
one question on this expansion, just a footnote, because I'm interested in your thought. When I think about wars and I think about the war we're in on our own soil right now, because this is a war, I think, and thinking about DEI, could it possibly be that part of the reason why this current maladministration, the selected ones, not elected ones, are putting out these transgender officers? I have a gut feeling that what they're trying to do is fortify Saddam's old line that America is the great Satan. And they're actually making us look literally like the great Satan all the way down to our schools. Could that be a ploy to peel away our allies, or to make our allies just not care about America anymore?
Absolutely. So hard answer is yes, 100%. Now, that said, and it goes right to cut the crap, right? The idea of culture. So you, in order to change a society, you have to change the culture. Culture can be changed through education, through health, through a variety of things, through political and policy stuff. So if we get beat on the head and shoulders about, you know, the accepting transgender, like we accept gays or we accept lesbians or we accept, I mean, if I was a gay man, and I was fighting all my life to be, you know, accepted as a gay man, I'd be pissed about transgender.
Very
I'd
much.
Be like, well, wait a second, I don't accept transgender, but if I say something about transgender, I might lose a little bit about all the things that we have been able to discover or to benefit from as being a gay man or a lesbian, right? I mean, so because I was in the military under Secretary Les Aspin in 1994. Actually, you know, I think it was 93-94 timeframe when it was imposed. You know, it was a don't ask, don't tell policy. So the military's had gays in the military, and gays or lesbians or gay, right? I mean,
right. And it wasn't your identity.
Right. It wasn't your identity. It was, you know, there was a standard that you had to meet. If you met the standard, you could go to training. You could be in this unit, this, you know, and nobody bothered. Nobody like said, Are you gay? If you're gay, you know, no. Right. But now it's transgender and it's being forced down our throats like you've never seen. I mean, it's like if you don't accept this, now you're going to be labeled the second letter in your great acronym, CRAP, right?
Right.
You're going to be labeled as a racist or a homophobe or anti-something. And that labeling then gets, you then get, if you're, especially if you're a high profile guy, like you are, you get hammered in their media about being a white Christian, Nazi, nationalist, you know, whatever they call it, whatever the right labeling is today, you know, homophobe, you know, conspiracy theorist, QAnon, all the craziness that's out there, right? So I agree that there is an infusion of this idea that we are going to force this into our system, into our culture here in America. And when you look at the people who own the corporations, who own the media, who have clearly infiltrated into our government, and I'm talking about external forces, particularly the Chinese Communist Party, but others, right. we have radical Islamists in our government who are in really critical jobs in our government, and the alliance between the communism and Islamism is a very real thing. I mean, it's a very real thing. We like it or not, it exists. And so that alliance creates a culture. If they are getting people in our government to force this stuff down, if we get people in the corporate world to force these ideas down on our, you know, on society, then it is not anything other than a sort of a hedonism, a Satanism, whatever you want to call it. It's not part of who we are as Americans, nor is it part of our history or our culture. It doesn't mean that those types of behaviors didn't exist. It just means that our country's culture is one built on Judeo-Christian principles and values, always has been. And I really wish that the Christian community would be stronger, the Christian leadership,
right?
And then the sheep that follow these leaders would be stronger and stand up as lions, so to speak. But if we don't push back, this will then become normalized in time. It becomes normal. And people just go, like young kids, TikToks or whatever, you know, all the stuff that's out there, young kids, teenagers, young adults, babies, I mean, elementary school, they begin to think that this is normal. And some old guy like me that talks about it is crazy. You know, he's a homophobe or he's whatever, right? And if you really ask me, I'd be like, no, I can accept a person's personal rights, personal freedoms. I can accept that. I don't have to accept their behavior, but I can accept their personal freedoms. I'm okay with that. But then imposing those things and forcing them into society, that's where I take a stand. And if we're not careful, in just a few years' time, all of this behavior is going to be normalized because, you know, more and more people are going to go, well, I don't want to fight City Hall, so why don't we just accept everybody? I'm okay with, drag queen hour in elementary schools as long as, you know, the moms and dads accept it. Well, the moms and dads are in their 20s, right?
That's right.
So if they're accepting it, it's kind of like, wait a second, that's in fact, we still have many laws on the books that says that's abuse, that's child abuse, right? So
either we have this unholy trinity.
Sorry,
right? Go ahead. We have this unholy trinity, government, media, and academia that are hammering us this way to hammer it out, which brings me to, we all know the media is bad. We all know the media is broken. As we all went through this debacle in 2020 and got the selected, not elected, mail order maladministration, we know it. But a lot of people popped up as broadcasters. But you're now going into the belly of the beast. You're becoming a media company. Tell us about that. It's Patriot.
Yeah, Patriot. TV. Yeah, Patriot.tv. Patriot.tv. And actually, you know, it's guys like you that what I learned, and you and I have had many conversations about this, the rise of citizen journalism has outsmarted. And has thought, maybe outsmart is probably the right word, outsmarted the normal mainstream media. Now,
right.
The mainstream media still still has a hold on a segment of society that that still believes, you know, that still watches a 60 Minutes on a Sunday night, and, you know, because they think that they're getting the, you know, the God's honest truth. They're not. They're really not. They're not. There's still a segment of society that believes if I watch NBC, if I watch MSNBC or CNN, you know, that I'm going to get an honest, unbiased, journalistic view of some issue. They're not. And what is very true, I mean, as we just saw with CBS having to, you know, get rid of 800 people. I mean, they fired 800 people. You know, all these big media markets are all having to shift because the world of information is shifted. And mm-hmm. citizen journalists like yourself, people who are gifted, who are super smart, experts in their own right, who know that there's a raw touch point out there in America that needs to hear the truth. And, you know, and it's like I say, you know, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. People can listen to Mike Flynn. They can listen to me, you know, whether or not they want to listen to me, whether or not they want to believe me. What I'm telling you is what I believe, you right. know, and it's based on, you know, I'm not some 25-year-old kid. I'm 65 years old, and I've had a blessed life of incredible levels of service. And, you know, do I make mistakes? Do I screw up sometimes? You're damn right I do. But I absolutely believe in the fundamental issues that I believe in and what I present. So this rise of citizen journalism via the internet, via social media platforms. I mean, I do always say, thank goodness that Elon Musk, you know, bought Twitter and turned it into X. If he didn't, you know, we would all be hurting right now. And there'd be a lot of unknowns because we learned that our government and media, social media, were colluding together while they were working, while they were undermining a U.S. president in Donald J. Trump. Now, I don't think Trump knew any of that. In fact, I would say if he knew it, he would have shut him down.
That's
but
right.
They were undermining him, and we now know that. We know that because the Twitter files that did come out through guys like Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger, I mean, those are just examples of the undermining by the corporate government and, you know, bureaucratic government and media to undermine the issues that they are trying to elevate. And so the rise of citizen journalism, Patriot.tv, what we're trying to do is provide a platform for quality content, because content is key. You know, your content and actually your production capabilities are terrific, you know, but your content, they don't care if you're out underneath a tree, you know, talking to an audience with, you know, over your cell phone, you know, if they believe what you're saying and they want to hear about what you have to say because they're loyal to what your message is and who it is that's telling it, they'll listen to you, you know. And so content is always critical. And I think for people that listen to this show, your show, and also are out there, they're navigating the waters of citizen journalists. They're looking for quality content and they're attracted to certain people. I mean, people don't stop just because they watch your show once a day or whatever. They don't stop reading, or they don't stop because we're bombarded by information. The tough thing these days is what information is honest, authentic, true, and is there a consistency in the information that's given? Anybody right. that's listened to me, anybody that's listened to you consistently knows generally that we are going to tell, you know, the hard truths all the time. And, you know, and we're going to talk about different issues and we're going to maybe stray outside of our areas of expertise. But when we do, we're going to bring you the truth as we know it. And we're going to learn more about those issues by bringing on good guests or by going and studying ourselves. I mean,
right.
You know, there's things that you don't, I mean, there's areas of expertise that your life has been a part of that, you know, you could probably do a show on just patents alone, you know, but you're taking on a message that's important for America right now. And I applaud you for that.
Thank
you. Patriot TV is you know, Patriot.tv. We have an app. People can go get the app, Patriot.tv. And they can go, they can join us. They can, it's a free now, and it's going to continue to be free. There will be paywall stuff that we will have. We are advertising a variety of products, which are all great products, you know. And so if you want to invest in American ideals and American content, and you're looking for other avenues, I mean, you're here on Cut the Crap with Jovan Pulitzer, and you want to find some other great people, we have some great content. And for us, content is the most important thing on our platform. We will always have good, reliable, honest content. And that's why I thought about this for a long time. Information has always been my background. I was really an electronic warfare signals intelligence officer when I originally trained. I spent 10 years in that field. I have a master's in telecommunications. I have decades of experience in psychological operations and information operations and warfare and how information needs to be, you know, produced and given to people. You know, I pray people see me as somebody who's like brutally honest, because I'm going to be.
Right.
I'm done. I talk about I'm beyond the nonsense stage of my life. You know, I really am. I'm past where I, you know, I mean, as a young kid, yeah, I used to do a lot of things that young people do. But now I'm like, we have to save this country. And we're off the rails. We're not on the rails going off the rails. We're off the rails.
Right.
And we have to get this country back on the rails. And the way we do that with good, honest leadership who is ready to admit that they don't know everything, but they know how to get things done, you know? And I think if we are able to do that, then we can get this country back on the rails for a moment in time, because then we're going to need additional time to fix some of the other issues that we talked about, whether or not we get rid of whole cloth, get rid of organizations in the federal government, because the federal government is way, way too big. And it definitely, I mean, Department of Education is the first, if I were president of the United States, you know, sprinkling fairy dust on myself, the first organization that I would shut the doors to is the Department of Education.
Absolutely.
Everybody always asks me, you know, they always think I was going to say the FBI because of what they did to me and my family. No. The first thing we got to do is get rid of the department. We got to get the federal government out of the education of our children.
That's right.
Back into the hands of our parents and people, you know, the moms and dads, and let them then negotiate with local and state level. That's really what the state's rights about education are. When we brought the Department of Education in, and it's big, and then they took over, and now we have a completely worthless, ineffective public education system that children are being hurt.
Right.
You know, that's if you were to ask me about not just the Intel or the FBI, but other parts of the government, I would close the doors on day one of the Department of Education.
I think that makes perfect sense. I look at some of these big departments bloat. I think it's just buying voters, just like letting them come across the borders. They're just fortifying the position for the government they want, the people that will carry that water. Let's go into worst case scenarios now. And there's only two scenarios: either Trump gets elected in, or they don't allow him to get elected in. Let's take Trump elected in first. Now, I look back and I realize the man had very few people surrounding him that were truly his agenda, even when he was in. But look how far we came in those 4 years. Could you imagine what it would have been like if he had support? Now, we're going to possibly be faced with the same thing. There is maybe not as much. I think America's waking up. But let's talk worst case scenario, because we have a double lose here. We'll win if we get him in. But when I say a double lose, we've got a wounded beast that wants to destroy our country, that if they get in, it's going to be tough. And if the person they don't want to get in gets in, they're even further wounded and they're going to attack. What's worst case scenario? President Trump prevails in November.
Yeah, I think that, well, if he prevails, that's a big win for the country. It gives us breathing room. It doesn't give us total victory, right?
Right.
It doesn't give us total victory. It gives us breathing room. And because the problems that we have in this country are going to take a lot longer than simply 4 years.
Right.
But if he wins, you know, we win as a nation. But then the subtext to winning is organizing for combat, so to speak. In the military, we have a plan, and then you have to organize to execute that plan. So Trump, first thing first, you know, the scenario one wins, get into office. Every single evil component of everything you talked about, the current bureaucracy, the corporate world, the media, the international, the European Union, the United Nations, these types of organizations and the people that are in them and the people that, that lead them are going to assault this country like we've never seen a president. I mean, he, much worse than what he had. So the American people, if we're able to have a fair election and Donald Trump wins, then we're going to have to really shore up around him. But his responsibility, and it's very clear that he is going to have to bring in warriors. He's going to have to bring in, you know, like war fighters, you know, champions, I call them too, right? And he's going to have to bring in people that just don't want to, because I donated $1 million to your campaign. I want to be the secretary of whatever. No more of that. We don't have the time, nor do we have the bullshit, to deal with in these, with some political person who just wants to have their name up in lights and they want to have a title and they want to get their picture, their portrait painted and put on a wall in the Department of Agriculture. I mean, this is the kind of bullshit that we're talking about, Jovan.
I know.
So everybody that comes in has got to have a purpose and a task to accomplish the mission, which is we are going to reform to save America. We're going to reform the federal government to save America. That's got to be a big part about it. What I said earlier about we've got to get the economic engines of the country turned back on immediately. And that means, you know, you can't worry about what they give you. You know, don't wait for Congress to give you, you know, to enact bills. This is going to have to be done by regulations and opening up the spigots of energy are probably one of the first things for us to do. You know, giving the law enforcement community your backing, that the law enforcement is now going to be, you know, one of the primary, institutions in this country that we are going to resurrect. And we want to make people that want to serve as cops and firemen proud again. Right.
Right.
We have to resurrect the idea of our military as a institution has to feel like winners. And there's got to be a standard, you know. I'm not calling for a bigger military. I'm not calling for a bigger military. I'm calling for a better military. I'm calling for a military based on a high moral and ethical standard of functioning, right? You know, put the winning spirit back into our military. Put the winning spirit back into the American people. And you do that by demonstrating that as a leader of this country, you're willing to do the harder right, which is to take some of these institutions down. I mean,
that's right.
I love President Milei in Argentina, you know. I mean, if there's an example now, there's only whatever 45, 50 million people there. But, you know, but it's the same idea. We have
calling it like it is, carving it out and cut away the cancers.
Right. Because people like you and I and, you know, and the citizen journalists that are representative in our world that we know many of them, we're going to hold to task, you know, a President Trump then when he gets in. And we're not going to want, you know, a bunch of political hacks surrounding him. We're not. I mean, we just can't have it.
We've already had that. We can't withstand that again.
Yeah, they got rid of me very quickly. And I tell people, I'm very honest about it because I believe it. They changed the course of history when they were able to push me out of the White House. And I know that I talk about it in the movie. You know, I know that, there are people on all sides of that aisle, right? All sides of that position. So, we have got to have warriors. We've got to have champions. We've got to have people who so believe in this country and understand how to then function. Now, when people, like somebody said to me the other day, well, you know, they got to hire 4,000, political appointees in the next administration. Bullshit. You don't have to hire that many. Uh-uh. Don't hire that many. Don't fill all those positions. Cut many of them. You know, why do we have, you know, 44, you know, just from a military perspective, why do we have 40? I think it's 44 four-star generals and admirals, you know, and we have the smallest military we've ever had. But at the height of World War II, we had like seven.
Right.
You know, we had, you know, the war in the Pacific, the war in Europe. I mean, the war in North Africa. We had wars everywhere because we've allowed ourselves to just grow at the federal level. And it's really hurt our country. So scenario one, Trump wins, got some things to do. Scenario two, which is another worst case scenario or a really bad case, is they win. You know, they win. So it can be either an unfair election. We go through the same issue, and they fight us for another 4 years like we've been fighting in the law, world of lawfare, or they just, or they win because people don't turn out. I mean, there's voter turnout, voter turnout nationally for the primaries, I think is less than 40%. That's terrible, America. So if they win, then we are on a much faster train to socialism. Okay. So now we are completely off the constitutional republic tracks, right? And instead of being off the rails, we are now on the rails, but we're on the rails towards socialism.
Well, we don't at both sides. We own the first side of it because we're apathetic. We work and raising our families, and we were kind of apathetic. But now we know our eyes are open, and if we don't engage, all of us engage at the grassroots levels and what we're doing right now, and we let it still happen just because people say, oh, I'm not going to vote. My vote's not going to count anyway. We're going to own this totally. And it's going to be on us.
Yeah, so we have to, I want to see in the general election in November, I want to see, like, you know, after the fact, one, I want to see a Trump victory because I think he gives us the breathing space that we need. But I want to see numbers like 75, 80, 85% turnout. Even if you just go and vote for one person, right?
Right.
If we don't have that kind of turnout, I don't think we can beat the rig. I don't think we can beat the rig. I just don't think we can do it. And you know, then the media and the FBI and the Department of Justice can call me what they want to call me, but our elections are not free and fair. You know, they're not, and they're filled with all kinds of fraud. I mean, everybody recognizes it. I mean, they just do. So let's not try to lie to ourselves here or lie to your audience. We don't have a fair and fraudulent free election system. We don't. So the way to me, one of the ways to defeat that is turnout. You've got to turn out in such giant numbers. And I'm not talking about just on voter day. I mean, I got mail-in ballots sitting at my house and I'm in Florida, right? So, and you know more, you've talked more about this, and you know, if there's a smart audience on voter or election integrity, it's your audience because of all the things that you have championed for in this country. And so those two scenarios, Trump wins, good. He's got a lot of things he's got to do, and he's got to do them rapidly. Number two, the other scenario is they win, whether, you know, fraudulently or they beat us because people just don't show up. They just go, I'm sick of politics. I'm not going to do this. That would be sad. Then we are going to be, we will be placed on the rails. This train called the United States of America will be placed on the rails of socialism, and we will start to move at a much faster rate and have many more things forced onto our society than we currently have right now. And by the time we hit to the end of this decade, right, we're into the third decade of the 21st century. By the time we get around to 2030 or the next election, quote unquote, if that even, you know, matters anymore, we will be the United Socialist States of America and not the United States of America. And I mean that.
Is there a wild card red flag possibility that you think they might try or could toss a bomb in us not having an election in November?
Yeah, now that's another scenario too. So that's another like black swan scenario, right? So what might happen? And I'm a scenario based. I have trained myself to be scenario based. In the military, we would call it most probable, most likely, most dangerous. You know, these are the, you know, least likely, those kinds of terms. But so, you know, a scenario that we do have that's out there, it can be considered and it can be thought through, would be no election at all. And so why would that happen? How would it happen? When might it happen? You know, what are the scenarios that surround that? Well, maybe there is some type of giant war, a bigger war than we're already involved in. Maybe there's the use of a nuclear weapon, right? Maybe there's a disease. You know, we hear about disease X and all these other things. Maybe there is a complete and total economic collapse, which is what I do see coming. I'm not an economics expert, but I am paying enough attention and I'm speaking to enough of those type of people that are. And we are moving towards an economic shift, global economic shift, in the use of the U.S. dollar as the currency of choice. You know, it being no longer the currency of choice, and we move to a digital currency, some sort of digital
right.
currency. So those are three, some type of bio attack, like a new disease, the advent of a real big war that the American, we're told the American people, we have to get behind this administration. We've got to fight this war. And I mean, they're moving us in a direction with war with Russia here. And it's really dangerous because these are nuclear capable nations, plural. And we have a couple more on our side, but Russia still has, a large arsenal of nuclear weapons. We can never get there.
Could it be closer to home? Could it be them packing in sleepers across the border?
So that's another.
Activate sleepers coast to coast one day and then say we're under attack from inside. I mean, look at their numbers of battalions of them coming in.
Yeah. So in the United States of America, the number that we have of Chinese military age male, not legal, not here legally, is roughly around 100,000. That equates to about 4 to 5 United States Army divisions. Okay. An Army division is big. Army division ranges from about 10 to about 15,000. So we have that many Chinese military age men in this country that are here illegally already. So that is the true black swan that, so the fact that we're talking about it is something that is knowable, right? It's we can, and to our government, if our government was worth a damn, they would be worried about that instead of arresting 55-year-old women down here in Collier County, Florida, because she was at a rally on January 6th. This happened last Monday. So what we have to do is, that's a knowable thing. We can prepare for that. Our government should be focused on that. I mean, if they were going to do anything to protect the safety and security of Americans, these are the kinds of things. A black swan event is something that is not, that nobody is imagining right now. Now, my world was always a world of trying to do and imagine and develop scenarios in black swans, because what we would be, and especially the higher, the more senior I got, when we were talking about the things that could happen, the things that our enemies overseas could do. What you're putting your finger on, which is absolutely the right thing to do, is putting your finger on something that could happen right here at home. I mean, what have we learned about the COVID disease is that it was created right here at home, right? They try to blame it on China, and China introduced, the China virus. Actually, there was collusion at multiple levels, and now we know it, right? Now we know it. So somebody's got to be held to account, right? Somebody's got to be held to account. That's undermining of not only the presidency, but the undermining of the American people, and it's a direct attack on the safety and security of the American people by elements in our own government that our government was aware of, right? People in our government, the leaders of our government, were aware of it. Can't have that. Members of Congress do nothing about it. They bring them in. They bring them in for a hearing, and they get a soundbite, and then you don't hear nothing. They're not sending them over to the Department of Justice to be tried, right? I mean, because the Department of Justice doesn't do anything about it. Even the Department of Justice under Donald Trump, And I mean, that's another aspect that's, I think it's something that he learned while he was the president, is that his Department of Justice is his Department of Justice because he was the elected guy by the majority of Americans. Americans elect the president, and they do it based on America's judgment. The judgment that I have in my ability to choose the best leader that we need. Once that president then takes that seat behind the resolute desk, then he's got the judgment, not just of his own, of himself, but of the entirety of the American people to pick the right people to put in charge of these institutions. And, those people don't work for the American, they don't work for, a document. They work for the American people, and that's why I get sick of Congress with what they're doing. Because so everything on these scenarios, Trump wins. Trump doesn't win. I don't think it's going to be Biden. I think that we're going to see a change here pretty soon.
Potentially, yep.
I think we are. I think that Biden will ride this out. I used to think that he would be out before this, but I think he's going to ride it out all the way to the end. They're going to continue to ruin the country. They can blame it on him. They're going to resurrect somebody else to come in, and I'm going to be the savior of the world. And or we have a black swan scenario type event where we don't have an election.
Yeah, I think they're setting him up to go down for bribery and stuff. You can see the writing on the wall. They're getting ready to sacrifice him. One just last real quick one. A few months ago, you and I were together with others in Florida. It was the first time President Trump had got back out on the road and talked. It was a dinner. You're kind of sitting to my right. I'm sitting there with Ann Vanderstill and stuff at the dinner. And President Trump called you out and said, General Flynn, make sure you're healthy. So, question. If asked to serve again, and I'll say it in two forms. If you're asked to serve again by President Trump, would you or are you now better equipped and unencumbered fighting on the outside versus being on the inside?
Yeah, good question. And so I've been there before when I've been asked to serve. I was asked to serve as his VP in the 2016 campaign down to the last four finalists, so to speak. So I know what that feels like. And then I was asked to serve as his national security advisor. So I know I've been there. And even though it's a hard question to say no to,
right,
especially as a person who has been a lifelong servant of this country, I know at least what the expectation is. I know how I can address it differently instead of the first time you get asked, you just don't know how to operate. You know, you don't know how to feel. So that's number one. So I know how to respond to that. The second part of your question is, am I more prepared now to operate outside? I actually have given that some thought, and I actually feel that I can do far more. Trump wins, and I do feel like I can do far more from the outside as someone who can go and speak on behalf of issues and activities, but also not have to be encumbered by being somebody inside of government, right? Because in government, you've got this lane.
It comes with handcuffs.
It does come with handcuffs. Rules. Yep, it does. It does. And this is why I do think, back to the first part of the question, I think Trump needs to pick people who are warriors, who are ready to go and fight, who serve only on the condition that they're going to be able to do their job to the best of their abilities to save America. If we don't have people that are thinking like that versus people who just want to get their name up in lights, then that's the wrong person. And anybody that actually is seeking a job is the wrong person.
Yes, this has to be a call to arms, a call to word to serve our nation. General Flynn, I appreciate you greatly. America appreciates you greatly. Can't wait to see the documentary. Thank you so much for being generous with your time.
Gracious. Hey, God bless you, Jovan. Thank you for everything that you're doing. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Take care. There you go, folks. Look, we're in different times. It's a big deal, a very, very big deal. Let me play this trailer for you one more time, folks, because I'm going to strongly recommend you make sure the general calls it just like it is, tells the truth. And if he's telling you there's going to be some bombs thrown, some names named, you need to see it.
Is there any regrets that you have in life? I should sit here and say, I got a lot of regrets. But when I look back on my life and I understand the lives that were lost, I mean, I'm sitting here with you. And I can tell my story.
He was one of the most respected generals in the world.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible for Donald
Trump. Brilliant military career serving.
Serving the tree.
Why was he being so elusive?
Mike Flynn, told the truth and faced by the person.
Folks, I would ask you to share this program. Great interview, great information with a great man. Hey, look, if you're not following on Rumble, will you click that follow, get all the notifications for the special broadcast we do? Folks, you're the army you've been waiting on. You're the cure to this madness. You're the antidote for all of these a-holes that are in government. But it's up to us. We're the ones they're afraid of. Activate. Talk it up. Share this. It's truth and information is how we're going to win this war. I love you all. Take care.
Most people are afraid to stand up and speak out, but not you. You've been learning how to tell the system to cut the crap. What can I do to help save the America I love? And the answer is, learn how to fight back and tell the system to cut the crap. Cut the Crap's not just a radio program, it's a movement. The right kind of movement, which breaks free the conservative constipation and reminds you that you are the majority. And we're just not going to take it anymore. Make sure you're following Joe Von Hunt and Pulitzer on all social media. See you next week. And between now and then, take a stand and tell them all to cut the crap.
To poll watching for voter suppression? That's so 60 years ago, but hey, groovy, man. Or you can choose to open your eyes. We've been fighting the same voting rights and integrity crap for over 60 years. The only thing that has changed is now they totally control our elections, and technology makes it easier for them. We've been taught to spend our time looking here, when we really should be looking here. And here, and here. Watching for voter intimidation? Watch what happened at polling places? Yeah, right. Would you even know an election hack if you saw one? We all know the government tactic of, hey, look over here, folks, when the deception really takes place over here. The GOP brags about 80,000 poll watchers. Again, groovy, man. But so 60 years ago, the problem is we have 175,141 voting precincts. That's an average of one single poll watcher, not even at half of the places people can vote. Not too groovy, is it? Change with the time, folks. Time for a technology and knowledge base upgrade. Quit falling for falling short. Stand up, stand out, and become an election integrity expert. Your county, not country, your county needs you. You have to upgrade to stay ahead. While you're busy challenging an individual voter, the system is stealing and compromising every vote. Remember this quote?
I did not see evidence of fraud that would have affected the outcome of the election.
Yeah, it's because you keep looking for that one-off bad voter. Or you can save your country and take on the whole corrupt system. Become an election integrity expert. It is everything the system, the deep state, and the uniparty does not want you to know. America is burning down right before our eyes. Grab a fire axe and join the firefight. Fireaxe.academy is an audio and visual-based online training program which will transform you into a real election integrity expert. Learn hundreds of ways our elections are rigged, broken, undermined, and stolen right under our noses. But you can't fix what you have no idea is broken. Being blind and ignorant is exactly what the system wants. Fight the system. Break the system. Become a fire axe and cut through the crap. Or, if we keep fooling ourselves looking here, then there is no way we can stop ourselves from arriving here. You don't need a 60-year-old black and white TV set to see clearly in black and white how our elections are rigged and stolen. Join the fight to save America. Sign up for fireaxe.academy today. Time is running out. Fireaxe.academy.
Warrior. by God and always do what's right. In the battle for our nation, you lead the fight. We pray for your safety, the armor of God to protect you from all of us. Here's a thank you for all that you do. You are courage, you're our voice. Jovan, we thank you for what you're fighting for. You're our warrior. You are brave like a lion. You're David fighting Goliath. Couldn't ask for more. You're our warrior. Think of what you've done for you, for me, for our country. You'll go down in history as our warrior. You've done for you.